Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, today I'm joined by Rob Watson, Head of Digital Marketing at Suppliant. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Andy.
Rob, do I detect a very faint Midlands accent there?
You may do, absolutely.
You're based in Coventry, aren't you?
Well, no, I grew up in Coventry.
You grew up in Coventry?
We're in Northampton, moved here a couple of years ago.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Yes, I do have a very, very sensitive Brummy detector, and I do detect a very, very soft Brummy accent there.
You got a Brummy radar, mate.
I've got a Brumdar, yeah, and it's going off left, right, and centre. Wanted to talk today about how we get our products through Google, the mechanism, and four weird Google shopping tactics that make you money. But before we do that, tell us just a little bit about you, Rob, and about Suppliant.
Okay, so we're an agency. E-commerce is our speciality. We work with non-e-commerce clients, but that's where we spend most of our time. And for that reason, Google and shopping is a big part of that. We have our own platform that we manage in-house. We've got a development team in-house, a production team in-house, and I look after the digital marketing team.
Now, before we go into actually, it's probably more than four weird method tactics, isn't it? It's probably four plus, probably several. But let's just set the scene, because I actually hadn't thought about this for a long time. But just tell us the chain of events that happens if you've got a website that sells products. Tell us the chain of events that happens that gets it into Google and sort of gets it out into AdWords and all those things.
Okay, so starting from your website, what you have is you have a database. Your products are managed to appear on that website through that database. And from that database, you can also produce a feed.
Yeah.
That feed is a XML feed, and well, predominantly an XML feed. That feed you then deliver to Google through the Google Merchant Center.
Yeah.
That's a solution. That's a service they've been providing for plus of 6 years.
It's been around for a while, hasn't it?
It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that, up to about 2.5 years ago, was a free service that Google offered. Your products would appear based on organic algorithms. So Google, being a business with shareholders, made a change to incorporate that into their AdWords platform. So that is what we've been working with for the last 2+ years. From AdWords, then it gets delivered onto the Google search engines.
So it's basically this link to AdWords, which is like the newer bit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there was a lot of dissent, I guess you'd say. So when this all happened, understandably, people are used to getting something for free and then they have to pay for it. But I think from my perspective, I'm delighted with what they've done, because they've taken a product with shopping and they've scaled it up very nicely. There's a lot more ads showing. There's a lot more shopping ads showing. And generally for the majority, vast majority of our clients, they perform exceptionally well. Best conversion rates, best cost of sale metrics, best CPAs. So yeah, I don't lament the loss of it being free, because this is significantly better.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners are businesses. Some of them are one-man bands, some of them are small businesses, a few of them are the bigger businesses. Let's go through these tactics then, Rob.
Okay, so what we're really talking about is changes that you can make to the feed. When we talked about the steps that you go through, two of those five steps was, well, there's the AdWords platform, and then there's the feed that is delivered from your website.
Yeah.
All these points here that I'm really focusing on are to do with the feed. The dynamic remarketing also uses that feed. So I'll kind of explain at the end how that might influence things. But the reason why the feed is so important for shopping is that as advertisers using AdWords, we've been very accustomed to using keywords, bidding on keywords, and having quite a lot of control how our ads displayed, what they showed for. As anybody that's had a go at setting a shopping campaign up will realize pretty quickly is that it doesn't exist. There is no keywords.
Yeah.
Essentially, they've all been replaced by your feed. So the bottom line is the feed is extremely important to run a profitable shopping campaign.
Okay, so I'm guessing that the titles you use and descriptions and things like that are important.
Yeah, so the first point I wanted to make is, before we go into this, I guess the point that kind of covers all of this is your ability to work with that feed. For many platforms, that feed will be based on the information you have on your products within the website and how you present those products to people browsing the site. What you've got then is you've kind of got like a default, slightly almost like a poor version of those products for search on Google's platform.
Yes.
So your ability to do very well with shopping tends to rely on your ability to work with a developer.
Yeah.
We have developers in-house, but we also work with clients that use platforms like Magento that have extensions and things like that. So yeah, generally you can work your way around it. But the first point refers to the title. You just alluded to this, the actual title of your products.
Mm.
That has a massive, massive impact on the searches, the terms that your products will appear alongside. It's not that different to AdWords in regards to how it deems, if you bid on a certain keyword, whether your ad will show for that keyword. It's looking for relevance.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same on shopping. So what you've got to be aware of is that if you've got a title of a product, or all your products have been titled for a user experience for people browsing your website, as they should be.
Yeah.
When you deliver those to Google, then you might not get a very good result. You might not find your product showing for what you'd like them to. So what we're doing a lot now is we are setting up the ability to create an additional title. So within our e-commerce CMSs, we've got a title for the products on the website. And we've got a title for Google Shopping.
I'm with you. Yeah.
One good example of a client that we've worked with recently, that's they're a leading Irish chocolate brand. Their website was the name of their brand. So there was no reason to mention the name of their brand in every single one of their products.
Sure, yeah.
So when you go to Google and you look for their chocolate, you find that the other retailers, namely Debenhams and Waitrose, were getting a lot of impressions because they had labeled them that way. So we got this change put in place. We front-loaded all of their titles with their brand name and started selling through shopping that way.
That makes a huge difference, doesn't it? So moving on.
Okay, so this is one of the things, this is perhaps a little bit more manipulative, I guess.
Yeah.
So going back to the issue with regards to keywords, what's quite common for pretty much any product that's being sold is that people refer to certain things in different ways. So a certain product might have a common slang version or a slang way of describing it. And normally what you would do with your products, the titles for them, you'll go for a keyword that would describe it. And what you might have to do is you might find yourself almost sacrificing or neglecting those other slang ways of referring to it. I mean, if I give you an example, this might make a bit more sense. So we used to our background as a business, we used to actually be a retailer. We used to sell alloy wheels online.
Yeah.
And a common slang word for alloy wheels would be rims.
Yeah.
So what you would do is you would have half a dozen alloys that you want to advertise, and they're all alloys, however many spokes, whatever color. If you wanted to then start to refer to them as being rims, you either have to write a slightly wordy title or something that looks a little bit not very optimized. What we started to do is, and it goes back to the whole relevance thing, how relevant, the balance between keyword relevance and bid and AdWords quality score, the less relevant your product, the more you have to pay. So if you can duplicate that product, if you got this listing for this five spoke red alloy and you wanted to duplicate that to be a five spoke red rim, then that would improve your relevance for the people looking for rims, and it will lower your bids and you'll get more impressions. So what we've actually started to do is to develop a way where we can take that product within the CMS and actually have it produce multiple items on our feed.
Yeah.
The way that the feed works is that everything has to have a unique ID number.
Yeah.
So what we started to do was if it has a standard ID, say 578, then what we do is 578-1, 578-2. So we can add these additional keywords and produce additional listings. It's not that dissimilar to a fairly common eBay ploy where you kind of duplicate your listing so you can dominate those search results. The difference here is that we're trying to actually appear for other terms as well. So it's one of those things that if you're a retailer and you only have, say, a relatively small number of products, say manageable, like 100, maybe 200 products, you can actually produce additional results within Google Shopping by this kind of duplication. The other point here as well is that you might have a product that is your, it's the 80-20 rule. If you think about it in terms of how products that people buy, if you've got 100 products, then you really want to be showing those 20 that most people are interested in. So instead of, say, changing the title for your second best product to be going after the rims keyword, you get your best product and you duplicate it so it goes for both.
Yes.
It's pretty sneaky, but it works. I like it.
So there is all ways of kind of like altering that feed, aren't they? So that you get the best results from Google.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get the best results, but I think the point here is that you're offering the best user experience. I mean, Google's very much about the user experience for Google users. So I talk about it being sneaky and manipulative, but really in the grand scheme of things, if you're doing these things and you're getting a better conversion rate and you're making more profit, then that's because you're offering users a better experience. So everybody wins, right?
Yeah, it's a win-win situation. So let's carry on down the list then. What else have we got?
Okay, so that last example was possibly ideally for people who've got a small number of products. So at the other end of the scale, if your product inventory is in hundreds of thousands, a client that we use this tactic with is a clothing store and their feed is 130,000. Again, same principle with wanting to show your best-selling products.
Yeah.
What we do for him, Google allows us to insert extra bits of information in our feed. So there's standard things that it wants to know, title, description, price, that kind of thing. So it allows us to add these things called custom labels, custom IDs. And what we did, working with him and his developers, within that custom ID, they identified their 20% of bestseller products, just put the label bestseller.
Yeah.
It updates overnight, so it's always fresh. And that data is in the feed. So then when we go to the AdWords side and we're setting up our bids, what we do is we can create, and the way we've done it, we've actually created a separate campaign for this. We've created a bestseller campaign. When you set these things up, you're allowed to do things called subdividing. And what we do is we subdivide and we identify all the products that are granted this bestseller label. Mm-hmm. And we just throw more money at them. So what we're doing there is making sure that when people search for a general term of the products that he sells, there's a it's weighted towards showing a bestseller than, you know, one of the other 80%. That's worked well too.
Now, Rob, you've got some ideas about landing pages as well, haven't you?
Yeah, indeed. So this is this will either resonate with people or it won't. It's either going to work for you or it isn't going to work for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Default your shopping products, land the customer on the product page.
Yeah.
Now, in retailers where if they're selling clothing and jewelry, then that's the right experience for the customer. But there will be certain products where, depending on how you've organized your website, that it might be, you might be more applicable to drop that customer onto a category page. Mm. Now there is an option you can do that. There is a attribute in your feed called AdWords redirect.
Yep.
So we take advantage of that as well on a number of clients where we actually take them straight to the category page. And that works well, but it's you'll know whether it's the right experience or not. I mean, if you want to have a look at someone that does this very well, in fact, go take a look at eBay, some of their shopping results. They do kind of like this really interesting hybrid landing page where you get the majority of the above the fold experience would replicate or look very similar to their product page. But straight away after that, it's into almost like a category search result experience. And it's you have to click from that page to get to the product page. So it's one of those things I'm surprised actually not more people do, but it's an option available. The thing to be careful of is not getting caught out by Google's landing page policy.
Yes.
Generally, if you're creating a good experience, so the product that people have clicked on, the one that you've just advertised, if it's right down the bottom of the page, then you're not going to have much success with it. But if it's above the fold and the other products on that page feel like they're variations of what you've just advertised, then it should work pretty well for you.
Well, I'm just trying to understand the psychology, Rob. Why might going onto a category page be a better option than going straight to the product page?
Well, it depends. It very much depends on how your website is organized. If your website product pages are designed to present product options like sizes or take the TV as an example. If you've got that product page and it's a range of TVs, and you've got the option to choose the 21 inch or the 24 inch or the 40 whatever inch, then yeah, drop them on the product page. But if you've got that product there, if the landing page is presenting that product well with other options, and arguably that's a good way to upsell as well. So, you know, you could say, if I've presented my lower price option for that TV, I've dropped them on this page, but they notice then that for an extra £30, they can get a 3-inch larger telly.
Yes.
So that's the kind of scenario. And it's one of those things that I think if you listen to that, you're thinking that, no, this just doesn't work, then don't do it.
Sure.
But you might have found yourself in a situation where you're almost thinking, I don't want them to go to the product page. I'd rather than go to this category because there's all these other options. Then the AdWords redirect attribute can be used for that purpose.
And I suppose you're going to know best because presumably you've been tracking the metrics of your own website. You're going to know how your buyers normally behave, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, now tell us about high impression SKUs. A SKU, of course, is that special code that represents a product, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No one seems to know what the acronym stands for.
It's Google, they call them MPNs or model part numbers. Yeah, lots of different acronyms. It's marketing, lots of different acronyms. This is an idea that I'm not going to be able to take credit for this one. I've got to give a call out to David Grant and Jay for cooking this one up. After a bit of time, when this has been running, you'll notice that certain products are gonna show. They just Google favors certain products for whatever reason. They start to get a good click through rate, so they develop a little bit of history, so that they get more impressions. When you're looking in AdWords, you look at your product ID reports. You'll see the ones that have a lot of impressions, and you'll also notice whether they're getting good conversions or not. If you're identifying a product that is a high impression product and it's not converting very well, what you can do, and say for example it's not one of your 20% bestsellers, what you can do, because of the way that the Google Merchant Center identifies products around the product ID, if you have the ability within your CMS, you can essentially hijack that ID. You can take that ID and you can replace it with another product. You can replace it with a bestseller product.
Okay.
Now, it's a weird one because when we tested it, quite a lot, and our success rate is generally around the kind of 30, 40%. Some of them just, as soon as you do this, they just fall off a cliff.
Yes.
Some of them do quite well though. And I think if you're identified a product where if you think, well, if it falls off a cliff, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because I don't want this product to show. So what you can do is you can exclude products from AdWords in much the same way that on other campaigns you can do things called negative keywords. You can exclude products. What I'm suggesting here is that instead of excluding it, you might want to see if you could actually leverage it and hijack it for a product that you would rather show in its place. So there's a few things you've got to be careful of. If you're selling a pair of really grotty, horrible trainers, you're probably going to struggle if you want to then replace it with an iPod or something.
Yeah.
You got to look for matches. But if you've got something that's in a similar category and you can, it doesn't feel totally inappropriate, then that's something that has worked very well.
So is this literally, say you had a really, let me think, you had a high-selling product, like an iPod or something, that had a SKU 1, 2, 3, and you had a really rubbishy pair of trainers, and their SKU was 5, 6, 7. Does it literally mean swapping the 5, 6, 7 for the 1, 2, 3? Is that where we're going here?
Yeah, basically, because it's an ID. That's the ID is pivotal to how Google recognizes what the product is.
Yes.
But yeah, you wouldn't get away with doing that.
No. You do it more subtly, wouldn't you?
If you've got a really rubbish pair of trainers and then you have a moderately okay-ish pair of trainers that sell incredibly well, though you have no idea why, then that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing you can do.
I believe that there is an added bonus to this, isn't there? If the hijacking product is at least, is it 20% cheaper?
Yeah. Okay. So this is something that they've started to show. Probably it kicked in just a little bit before Christmas, but it's still there now. Google shows the percentage that a product has dropped in price by.
Yeah.
So if, say, for example, your horrible trainers are, I don't know, what's a good price for horrible trainers, Andy?
80 quid.
80 quid. Horrible trainers, horrible price. And your moderately decent trainers are kicking in at...
55 quid.
55
I think that's at least 20% cheaper.
I was doing the maths in my head and hesitated, but thank you for that. What Google will do, it sees that as a price drop.
Right.
Because on that ID, that price has just dropped by 20%, so it will show it as a little message.
Okay, so we've covered a few things there, Rob. Can these be used in combination with each other?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where things get really interesting. None of these are mutually exclusive. You pull them all together and you get some. You can get some pretty interesting results. Example being, if you've got a product, you're going after a very head generic term, you optimize your very best seller for that term, and you drop them on a category page where they're presented with a variety of products that perhaps are not exactly the one that they clicked on, but relate to what they searched for in the first place. And yeah, you can combine these and get some pretty interesting results.
There was a caveat, wasn't there? Just probably worth mentioning at this point.
It's always a caveat. Dynamic remarketing is a great product that Google offer for retailers as well. That also uses your feed. Yeah. So the information, the things that you're changing in your feed to have success in shopping will have a knock-on effect on your dynamic remarketing campaigns. For me personally, I take a hit on that. I think the benefit that you get from shopping, it's just there's a hell of a lot more traffic, transactions, revenue to be gained through shopping than there is through dynamic remarketing. So if our dynamic remarketing campaigns suffer, then I think it's going to be negligible, and it's, in the grand scheme of things, you just take a hit on it.
And just for our listeners that aren't familiar with this concept of dynamic marketing, Rob, what would be a quick definition?
It is somebody's been to your website, they've been looking at horrible grotty trainers for the last 5 minutes, yeah, and then for some reason they decide they don't want to buy your horrible grotty trainers. They then go having a look around, they check Hotmail, or they look at the a few media websites, and you present them with banner ads.
I'm with you.
So that's standard remarketing. The difference with dynamic is that those banner ads, the content of those banner ads, is driven by the products they were just looking at.
Yes.
It's feed-based. It shows the picture, it shows the price. Yeah, so if they were really taken by your rather horrible trainers and they click on that ad and then they get directed to your not-so-horrible trainers, then, yeah, that might be a little bit jarring. That's the caveat.
Yeah. So a lot of our people who listen are sort of small businesses, medium businesses. Can you give us a few top tips on how to manage your feed to the Google Merchant Center?
It depends on what platform you're using. Ideal scenario is that you're using a platform where there is a... So if you have no in-house development team, you're using a platform where there is a plugin available, an extension available. I think if you've found a platform that you don't now have a plugin available for shopping, you probably want to get a different platform. There's got to be. So get that plugin. The benefit with that, you're using a plugin solution, is that it should, at the very least, be updating every 24 hours.
Yeah.
So when you have a product go out of stock, you have a sale and you reduce your prices, that information gets updated to Google the following day. So from a management point of view, that's a pretty good situation. It feeds into your AdWords, and you set a set your bids up, whether you've then got a structure in place where you're bidding more for certain products than the others is ideal as well. That's your basis. Get those set up and with conversion tracking in place, get a feel for how it's working for you and go from there.
Thank you very much, Rob. That's really good information. How can people find out a little bit more about Rob Watson and Suppliant?
So for Rob Watson, you can find me on Twitter, Rob P. Watson. It's my Twitter ID as far as Suppliant goes. What we do, so we're based in Northampton. We run seminars on internet marketing for local businesses. We enjoy talking about internet marketing, and that's an open invitation to any business nearby. Just get onto Suppliant's website, get in touch with us. We'll let you know where there's some dates. We normally have them at least a handful every month. And outside of that, we also run the Northampton Geek Night, which if you get yourself on meetup.com, you live within a drive from Northampton. We run those Geek Nights every couple of months, and it's just a bunch of people who get together in a pub and talk geekness.
Well, don't blame me if you suddenly get a load of people from across the pond coming now then.
Yeah, you can travel. There's lovely hotels in Northampton.
Just to clarify the spelling of suppliant.com, Rob, how does it go?
Yep, that's SUPPLYANT.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. You'll find the show notes at sitevisibility.com/IM podcast. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, so please feel free to comment and leave ratings and things. And we have two sort of incoming hotlines. We have the email podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and we have a telephone hotline if you want to leave a comment or a message or a question. It's +44 1273 256 150. So that's all from me, Andy White. It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Rob.
Ta-ra.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.